We will continue our study of the Good News in Seven Ones. Lesson 2 is the Gospel, or the Good News. What does the word Gospel mean? In Romans chapter 10, verse 15, it says, "And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the Gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." The Gospel of peace is glad tidings of good things. If you looked in a dictionary, it would actually tell you that the word gospel means good news. Before I ask you what the good news is, I want you to tell me what the bad news of the Bible is. What does the Bible tell us is bad news? Isaiah chapter 59 verses 1 and 2 tells us what the bad news is. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear." Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So the bad news is that sin separates us from God. But what's worse than that is revealed in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans 6, 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." The wages of sin is death. But it gives us some good news at the end. "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The bad news of the Bible is that sin separates us from God, and we've all sinned. And what's worse than that is that the wages of sin is death. We deserve to die physically. We deserve to die spiritually because of our sin. So what is the good news? Well, the good news must be something that will keep us from having to face the really bad news of sin and death. If you were supposed to die tomorrow for a crime you had committed, then what would be good news to you today? $1 million? A new car? The only thing that could be good news today would be to hear that you no longer have to die. We have that good news in Christ, who died in our place on the cross. Being in sin, we could not be the atoning sacrifice for our own sins. But in Christ, though we will face physical death, we will no longer have to face spiritual death. So what is the good news that saves us from the bad news about sin and death? Did the good deeds of Jesus, like his feeding the hungry and making the blind see, save us from our sins? Remember, the wages of sin is not good deed doing. The wages of sin is death. Jesus did those good things because he had compassion on the people and he had love for the people. And they were also done to validate that he was God in the flesh. But the payment for sin is not good deeds. The payment for sin is death. As we read in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." Here we find the gospel, or the good news, declared. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4, Paul writes, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and in which you stand, by which also you're saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Now, what would it mean to hold fast the word preached? It would mean you're obedient to the teachings that were preached. So he says then, "For I delivered to you first of all that which you also received, how that Christ," notice three major things here, "Christ died for our sins according to the scripture," number one, "and he was buried," number two, "and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures," number three. The good news, the gospel declared, is the fact that Jesus was crucified, buried, and rose again. Let's take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Timothy 2, 5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the," most people think it's going to say Lord, but notice it says, "the man Christ Jesus." It's the man Christ Jesus because the wages of sin is death. God became man in the flesh, in the form of his son Jesus Christ, so that he could be the payment for man's sin. Jesus, the man, is the mediator between God and men. He paid the price of death for us. The gospel declared is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is good news. Do you believe with all your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead? Are you willing to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus before others? Let's read Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 13. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For Scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We must hear the good news about Jesus. We must believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. We must be willing to confess with our mouth that we believe in the Lord Jesus. But is believing enough? Is confessing enough? Or must we obey? In Romans chapter 10, if we continue in verse 14, reading through verse 17, it says, "How then shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." It was proof that they did not believe when there was no obedience. Faith is belief put into action. And so if there's no obeying, then there was never any true believing. We must obey the gospel or we are still in unbelief. Let me ask a question. We just read here, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. Have you ever heard that phrase, obey the gospel? Before I ask you how a person obeys the gospel, let me ask you what would happen if a person does not obey the gospel. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, it says, "And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who," notice, number one, "know not God, and number two, those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." These, those who don't know God and those who do not obey the gospel, will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. 1 Peter 4:17 says, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?" Well, we know what the end is going to be. They're going to be eternally separated. The person who does not know God or does not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ will be punished eternally and eternally separated from God and the power of his glory. God's power to save is in the gospel. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek." God as creator made that choice that people must know him and must obey the gospel. We who are created must follow his will and his plan.